This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Best for meetings. BFM 89.9.
Good evening. This is the evening edition. Caroline and Uma with you. And today we're going to be talking about our favorite thing in the whole wide world. Nasi lemak. That's right, folks.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. The most iconic dish in our country.
It's bringing the Japanese here.
It's bringing the Japanese here, according to the Ministry of Tourism. It's known as our national food. It's so versatile that it can be eaten for any meal. Breakfast, lunch, dinner, supper, 5 a.m., 3 a.m., 2 a.m., whenever.
It's also 80% of answers when you ask someone what they miss most about home.
That's right. I think it's between nasi lemak roti canai. I mean, that would be my answer, actually. This November, Fried Chilies are putting together one of the biggest nasi lemak gatherings in Kuala Lumpur, where everyone is invited to come and enjoy a variety of different versions of nasi lemak all under one roof.
Yep.
All right, come on, give me some excitement. Give me some excitement.
Yay!
I'm very, very excited.
I can't wait to see.
I think Aaron is a bit hungry, I think.
Yeah, I am hungry.
So we've got Hani Ahmad, who's the Fried Chilies co-founder, as well as Adli Rizal, CEO of Fried Chilies, basically here today to tell us everything about this dish and their event, right? So, on a scale from 1 to 10, folks, how would you rate our love for nasi lemak?
Oh my God, 11 maybe?
No, there's I have a very important question though. You know, when it comes to nasi lemak, what's more important, nasi or sambal?
It's sambal for me.
And you?
It's rice. We're going to start a war now, aren't we?
We perpetually argue about nasi lemak, you know.
Whether it's the sambal or the rice?
Yeah. Okay. It's probably a combination of both.
And for some weird people, it's cucumbers.
I love cucumbers with nasi lemak. I feel it's not complete without cucumbers. And I like the boiled egg.
Yeah.
I don't really like it when they give you omelette.
I like the fried egg.
I've got to ask though. Okay, you know, there's a question I always have. You know, at home, when we make nasi lemak at home, we always eat nasi lemak dengan kangkong.
Yeah.
But
that's a Melaka thing, you know.
Is it a Melaka thing?
Yes.
So I was going to ask you whether nasi lemak differs from state to state.
Yep.
So what? So tell me, Melaka is kangkong. Talk to me about Johor, Perak.
Okay, there are some parts of Johor where they eat it with satay.
Interesting.
And if you go to the East Coast, they actually would have it with gulai ikan tongkol. So usually nasi lemak sellers will also sell nasi dagang. So like the lauk is a bit interchangeable in some ways.
And do you have, I suppose, the history behind it? I mean, do we know where it came from?
We were just talking about this just now. There are many theories, but we don't have hard proof yet.
That's because we can't archive.
So tell us some of the theories then.
There were some theories. Adli, you want to take this?
That's okay. I mean, some of it... we were doing research for a couple of years, and we spoke to a national historian, and he says that nasi lemak traveled through the Nyonya side of things. It's not created by the Nyonya families, but it was brought over. And we found out that there's a similar dish in Sri Lanka that's similar to nasi lemak.
Really?
So perhaps during the Melaka phase, you know, when the Melaka became lingua franca, and you know, the Chinese and Indians came, and you've got that trade route, and that somehow brought nasi lemak over.
And how similar is this dish that they have in Sri Lanka?
Well, Sri Lanka also has sambal, their version of sambal, right? Yeah. And then they also have coconut rice. They also have their own version of coconut rice. So it's not exactly like our nasi lemak, because we are very good at taking a food and making it our own.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Case in point, roti canai.
Adapt, adopt it, exactly. Yeah. Make it even better.
Yep. And that's why I think nasi lemak somehow has everybody. I mean, there's vegetarian nasi lemak, there's all kinds of different kinds of rendang, you know. Yeah.
So we thought that this is plausible because the way nasi lemak is being cooked or prepared is not the same as how... Malay cooking don't do it that way. Chinese cooking don't do it that way. Indian cooking don't do it that way. It's actually different.
So it's actually
maybe
uniquely
it's plausible,
Malaysia.
Yeah. You know, that it's brought over from somewhere and, you know, it's being adapted as a Malaysian dish.
Wait, so tell me something. You know, you said that, you know, they eat it with gulai sometimes, with satay sometimes. Yeah. So what components remain the same? Is it just the nasi, the sambal and the cucumber?
Okay, I can tell you how we rate nasi lemak. Number one is we go for the rice. Number two, the sambal has to be cake. So that's where the argument comes in. But it's fine. Number three, the ikan bilis has to be crunchy. So if you have soggy ikan bilis, you feel right.
Although traditionally, it was basically sambal ikan bilis.
Yeah.
The fried ikan bilis is actually quite a new thing.
It's a new thing, isn't it? Yeah. I remember as a kid, it was actually integrated into the sambal.
Correct.
Yeah. So it would be soggy ikan bilis then?
No,
the sambal?
If it was done well, I remember it was still crunchy.
It was crunchy in the sambal.
So we got one of the participants who actually actually have sambal ikan bilis, but the ikan bilis is crunchy.
Oh, yeah.
And I can tell you how he basically does it. So basically, he fries the ikan bilis first. Then he adds into the sambal at the last minute before packing it up. So it becomes really crunchy. So that was why they are in. Very nice.
So basically, you don't give time for the ikan bilis to like kind of get steamed as well. Exactly. It's like bad French fries, right? As soon as you tap out bad French fries,
exactly,
it gets steamed and becomes soggy, right? So what about you guys? Do you guys have a particular style of nasi lemak that you enjoy? Or are you just random connoisseurs of everything?
You're
in prison. It's your last meal.
It has to be a nasi lemak.
It has to be a nasi lemak. What would you have? What would make the perfect nasi lemak for you?
Okay, I like my rice to not be so. I think the word is cheroy, which is kind of like, in bits. I like mine to be a bit sticky.
Yeah.
You know, so and hot. I don't like it to be cold because some people actually like eating nasi lemak cold.
Right.
I like my sambal. I'm from Perak. So I like my sambal to actually be spicy but with that kind of like sweet edge at the end. So that means you have cooked the sambal for a long time until the sugar in it actually caramelizes. You know, must have it with boiled egg and cucumbers, of course.
Not a good conversation to be having as we're heading to dinner.
It has to be wrapped in banana leaf. Because that is
that
actually
scent.
And it's a banana leaf that they have to actually like heat up first. Yeah, because a lot of Perak kuehs is like that as well. They have to heat up the banana leaf first before you gives you that signature kind of.
Not the banana leaf plate then.
Very nice.
Doesn't work.
Yeah, not the banana leaf. No, but it's good because it's essentially the oils of the banana leaf that kind of give it scent and flavor, right?
Yep.
Adli, what about you?
Mine is just a simple nasi lemak bungkus. It has to be bungkus. It's like the $1 kind. Yeah, I go for those. And it either has to have a small piece of ikan kering or ikan bilis on top with a quarter boil.
Wow. I'm greedy. I go for the 15 ringgit type, you know, the fried chicken, sotong, everything.
Yeah. No, that one's good too, but you know, most of the time, like you say, if you frame, if I was in prison, it has to be nasi lemak. Which one I'd go for? That's the one.
Well, it's interesting. Simple ones. Both of you are traditionalists in that sense, because these days when you go out and you order nasi lemak, you get, you know, five different things on your plate. They really, you
say it like it's a bad thing.
Oh, if you're talking about lauk, I like kerang. I like sambal kerang. Because not many people actually do good sambal kerang.
Ah, I agree. Ah.
So very hungry right now.
Paru. Oh, I love paru too. Okay.
They will be there during the event.
Yes.
All right. Well, speaking to the folks at Fried Chili's, we've got Hani Ahmad, who's the co-founder of Fried Chili's, with Adli Rizal, CEO of Fried Chili's. We're talking nasi lemak because they've got an event coming up. It's going to be the largest gathering of nasi lemak vendors in Kuala Lumpur, and you can eat your heart out after this. We're going to be talking about the taste as well as the event. We've got Scar Cloud Control on BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, this is the evening edition. Caroline and Uma with you. We're talking nasi lemak today, about an event actually. I Eat Nasi Lemak. It's organized by Fried Chili's. They're putting together this event. It's going to be the largest gathering of nasi lemak vendors ever, anywhere in Kuala Lumpur. You're all invited to come and have just every kind of nasi lemak possible. We've got Hani Ahmad, Fried Chili's co-founder, as well as Adli Rizal, CEO of Fried Chili's, here with us. Before I ask you about the event proper, I've got one more question about the eating of the nasi lemak. So, when you eat the nasi lemak, do you go for bite consistency or bite variety? So, what I mean by that is, should every spoonful have a little bit of a peanut, some kangkong, some sambal, some ikan bilis, or like that perfect bite every time? Or do you eat it like how I eat it? Sometimes, you know, just a bit of rice and sambal. Sometimes I'll throw in a bit of ikan bilis. Yeah.
I tend to, if the sambal runs out too fast, then I lose interest in the rice.
Ah, so you don't mix the rice and the sambal together to create like this even
ratio.
Although when I was small, I used to put the best bits at the end and have it as a last mouthful. And apparently a lot of people do that. But I stopped doing that.
Already. I can't mix it up altogether.
No, you can't?
Yeah.
Okay, that's that. Interesting. Yeah. All right, let's talk about this event then.
Right.
How many vendors are there going to be at the event?
There's going to be 20 this year. Last year we had 10.
Right.
And this year we have 20 and 5 of them are out of town.
Out of town.
Yeah, out of KL.
And how did you select? Because everybody sells nasi lemak, right? So how did you decide who?
By massive arguments in the office.
They're invited, like they don't apply.
They are invited. So if they are not invited, they're basically not in. You know, so we have a list of about, what, 50 people, 50 different vendors. You got shortlisted to 30.
Right. But did you go by popularity or?
No.
Some are institutions because, you know, it's also based on our fans as well, what they really like. Mm-hmm. But also our vendors also need to have capacity as well. So we do highlight one or two smaller sellers, but they don't, you know, some of them just can't enter because they just don't have.
Right.
But these are the best of the best, lah.
Right.
Yeah. So, do you want to know what kind of stuff you can expect this
absolutely,
year?
Absolutely, absolutely.
We have a nasi lemak ikan keli that is going to be from Lenggeng.
Sambal ikan keli.
Oh, sambal ikan keli.
Yes.
Yes. Oh. That's going to be brown puyo, kuih lah, fried kuih this
fried
year.
Wow.
There's a nasi lemak kukus goreng.
What is that?
I know, right? It's a creature, a rare creature. It's just a vendor in PJ. He actually used to be a chef, right? In Hilton or something like that.
Yes.
Nasi lemak kukus.
So he kukus his nasi lemak and then he fries it.
It's like nasi goreng, but instead of using
and you can still
rice,
taste the lemakness.
Yeah. Use nasi lemak for that.
I'm so excited right now.
Oh dear. Oh dear.
Okay, tell us more. But it sounds
like a heart attack.
I know. I'm assuming the ten who were there last year are coming back.
Some of them are coming back. Okay. Most of them are coming back.
Most of them are coming back, yeah. And also we try and also make sure that they bring their two signature lauk because we want to highlight the best. So some of them are good better for rendang. So we want people to also have a variety. And this year we actually have a vegetarian nasi lemak and an organic one as well.
An organic one?
Yeah, that apparently uses coconut oil instead of santan.
Oh, wow.
When the rice is still warm.
Yeah. Right. Is that the only thing that's organic about it?
No, apparently everything else is organic too. Right. Apparently their chickens are really happy for they fry them. I don't know.
Oh, fantastic. No, honey, no.
No, I mean, you know, those free-range chickens, a happy chicken makes a tasty
on.
Chicken.
Let's not have this conversation.
No.
Let's move it. Move it away from here.
So my family are vegetarian. My mom and dad are. And my mom makes this incredible vegetarian nasi lemak recipe she kind of devised by herself. And it's quite interesting because a lot of people come home and they're always, you know, we have this you must have seen it in the shops, this kind of really, it's like mushrooms but it looks like ikan bilis.
You guys use mushrooms.
Yeah, and then she used a really thinly sliced fried tofu as well, like deep fried tofu.
Some of them use like really thinly sliced potatoes.
And we fool a lot of people.
Yeah.
They come in and then they're like, oh, this is very interesting nasi lemak. I'm like, there's no meat in it.
You know how
like,
you can
have
a bit of a fishy taste? You put a bit of seaweed in.
Oh,
into the sambal.
Your mum can cook driftwood and make it taste amazing.
Actually, she really can't. Mum can only cook two dishes well, nasi lemak and kari laksa.
You're just an ungrateful boy.
So, tell me, at the event, I mean, your events in the past, they've used a kind of coupon system. Yes. Is that the same thing? To explain that to us, how it works.
Yeah, still uses a coupon system. So what we're doing is the coupon comes in a booklet of five and each coupon is about ringgit. So you can buy anything you want. So it's all going to be priced at $2.
Or denominations of two.
So if you want, for example, the quail eggs, it might be like 4 or 6.
Oh yeah, so because if you add in the more luxurious stuff.
Yeah, so it's like 3 coupons for that. But everything's going to be that. So that you can, so in actual fact, it's actually a nasi lemak tasting fiesta. That's what it is. But you know, tasting Malaysians are still trying to get used to this tasting thing. So
no, it's just gorging, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but how many can you try? I mean, you've got 20 stalls there.
Well, we standardize it better this year.
I'm sorry, Caroline, is that a challenge? Because challenge accepted.
And you can tapau. See, the best thing is that you can take away and carry on the eating at home.
Okay.
That's the beauty of it all.
So last year what we found out was people were tapauing their dishes because their friends were pesaning on their fathers and mothers in their house. We're like, hey, you go there, you go and tapau some for me. So a lot of the sellers were finishing out of their bunkers rations very, very fast. So we say, okay, so this year you can tapau, make sure you bring enough tapau packets and stuff like that, so you can do anything you want.
It's on a Sunday, isn't it?
It's on a Sunday, 2nd of November.
Yep. That's quite interesting because you had a burger
event.
Was it last year or earlier this year?
Earlier this year.
It was earlier this year, right? And I think a friend of mine attended. I couldn't go. This was in AmCorp.
Yes.
Yes. And of course, burgers by nature are quite filling and large, right. And a lot of people were, I think, struggling to taste.
Right.
So what I'm asking is there an option for you to tell your vendors to create tasting portions? Have you done
that? That's why there's the ringgit version. So for ringgit, you can buy a small portion of nasi lemak.
There you go.
It's about 4 to 5 mouthfuls.
Yes.
Yeah. or little mouthfuls.
Perfect.
So lovely. Or one really depending huge. On how big yeah. your mouth is.
And a moose bush of nasi lemak.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because if we give such big portions, like last year, some of the vendors are quite generous. Mm-hmm. Then people go like, oh, you know, we want to taste more. Yeah. Well, the whole point is, yeah.
Tell us, give us those details again. The event is called I Eat Nasi Lemak. When, where, how do we go?
Okay, the event's called I Eat Nasi Lemak 2014. It's going to be held at TM Convention Center on the 2nd of November,
That's
Sunday.
That's below the TM Tower,
That's
right?
below the TM Nararebong.
In Bukit Pantai, yeah.
Yeah, beside it, there's actually a convention center.
Free parking. LRT. More information, go to factualist.com or our Facebook at Factualist.
Yeah, so we're starting to put in all of the vendors and stuff from now on.
We have little videos interesting. On them.
Fantastic, folks. So, all right, if you love Nasi Lemak, 2nd November 2014, TM Convention Center, you want to be there and eat.
And watch Roma.
10 a.m. to 5 p.m.
Oh, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m.
Very important.
So go early and stand in line. Hadi Ahmad, Adli Rizal of Fried Chilies, you guys can move my bush anytime. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having us.
You've been listening to the Evening Edition. We've got James Sturgis, I've Seen a Face. BFM 89.9.
Good evening. I'm Esme Joseph, and this is a new monthly segment called Something to Read, Watch and Listen, brought to you by The Evening Edition. So once a month, we curate a list of 3 items of things to read, watch and listen, stuff that we feel would be worth your while to check out. It may inform, it may make you wonder, or perhaps just affirm that thing you kinda already knew. Everything from the news, entertainment, social commentary and pop culture. Hashtag top up knowledge. So here we go. First up, something to read. BS, bullcrap are one of the many common English expletives that we use regularly in our day-to-day discourse. Bullshit essentially describes the term nonsense or lies. Well, that's what I thought until I came across a book on bullshit. Yep, that's right. A book literally called On Bullshit by Harry G. Frankfurt, a professor of philosophy based in Princeton University. And according to Mr. Frankfurt, bullshit is not a lie. Here is why.
You say bullshit is not lying.
No, it's not lying. Lying consists in believing that you know the truth and saying something else.
It's willful.
It's willful. And the bullshit doesn't really care whether what he says is true or false.
It makes you warn you that when they hear the word, it tickles them.
I know.
They love the word.
I know. Especially coming from an Ivy League professor. There's something something special about that, I know.
That was a fun bit of Professor Harry G. Frankfurt on The Daily Show with Jon Stewart, talking and describing bullshit. Now, not only has this book completely changed my understanding on the meaning of bullshit, it has also made me question the practice of bullshit. To many, the value of the term bullshit is as good as the term stupid. It's almost casual and very... at least most of the time, harmless. Professor Harry raised a very interesting point in his book where he questions the impact of the act/practice of bullshit has on society. Have a listen to this.
Which do you think is more corrosive to society, the lie or bullshit?
Well, I claim that bullshit is more a more insidious threat to society because it undermines respect for the truth. And it manifests a lack of concern for the truth. It therefore undermines our commitment to the importance of truth. The liar is concerned for the truth. He just doesn't want it. He is taking care to avoid it.
But he has to know it. But to be able to lie, you need to know what the truth is to go the other direction.
Or at least you have to think you know what it is, right.
But the bullshit
doesn't care.
At all. Which is more prevalent, do you think?
There's a lot of lying. But I think probably bullshit is even more pervasive.
Tons and tons of
bullshit.
Maybe some of you have come across this book before. It was first published in 2005, which was quite a while ago. But this book is definitely worth a second mention and a read. If you want to get a hold of your own copy of On Bullshit, it is available at the Kinokuniya Bookstore in KLCC. And now, for something to watch.
Setiap tahun, asal je bulan Ogos, TV akan tunjukkan Bukit Kepong, betul? Kan?
melawan komunis. Tapi sebenarnya dalam sejarah, komunis melawan British.
Welcome to Latif's Alteration Shop at Pertama Complex, Kuala Lumpur. Here, the host, Latif, will not only repair your jeans, but will also entertain you with stories ranging from politics to ghost stories and what it is to be Malay. The Tailor of Pertama, a short film by Badrul Hisham Ismail, which was nominated for Best Malaysian Film at the 2013 Freedom Film Festival. Now, this film captures the quintessential Malaysian storyteller in just 15 minutes. And here is our very own Ezuzayat and Ali Johan from the Weekend team talking about the film.
Ali, what I really like about The Tale of Pertama, so many things, but it captures so much of these cultural markers of the Malay community that doesn't feel forced, right?
Yeah, and this guy, Abang Latip, as I know him, he is that KL guy. You want stories about KL, you listen to him. And that video captures exactly what it is like to be at his shop in a day.
Yeah.
He'll tell you stories about politics, about people, you know, really street level things, really real things.
And these real things is something that, you know, we can relate, you know, from one Melayu to another. You know, when we go for dinners with our families, when we meet our relatives, things about hantu, things about Malay politics, things about that are so ingrained in the Malay culture, but sometimes it doesn't necessarily translate to other audiences or other communities.
Yeah, and I think in the context of the documentary, you know, this guy is altering your pants or something, and then he tells you about Bukit Kepong, about UMNO, about everything, Harley Davidson.
And about hantu. And I mean, I love that. And I think, you know, when a lot of people watch this 15-minute documentary, it's a fly on the wall kind of approach. It's beautifully shot, black and white. And I think people will leave watching this asking questions about not necessarily just the Malay community itself, but also their own community, about what issues and caricatures that we paint about our own community.
You can watch The Tailor of Pertama on Vimeo.com. Lastly, something to listen. This month's suggestion for something to listen is none other than Emma Watson's He for She UN campaign speech, which went viral on social media last month. Amid all the positive response that her speech has garnered, it also received some backlash. One thing for sure is that Miss Watson's speech has successfully got everyone talking about feminism.
If men don't have to be aggressive in order to be accepted, women won't feel compelled to be submissive. If men don't have to control, women won't have to be controlled. Both men and women should feel free to be sensitive. Both men and women should feel free to be strong. It is time that we all perceive gender on a spectrum instead of two sets of opposing ideals.
I have to admit, back when I was a teenager, I did not quite understand what feminism was and why it was such a big deal. It always came across as a very negative thing to me then. Now, critics have come out to say that some of her ideas in the speech weren't groundbreakingly new. That said, I believe that her speech and her influence as a celebrity will paint a clearer picture of what feminism means, especially to those who don't understand or care about the issue. Emma Watson's UN speech can be found on YouTube. So there you go, folks. Three things definitely worth checking out. Hope you enjoy these suggestions. I'm Esme Joseph of the Evening Edition, and this has been Something to Read, Watch and Listen. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.